Our Heavenly Father is generous. While His primary goal for His children has never been the accumulation of wealth and material possessions, neither is He stingy and unwilling to provide us with all of our needs, and that includes physical, emotional, and spiritual. As Jesus taught the multitudes of Israel, He made reference again and again to the Father in heaven, and declared Him to be kind, generous, and very much willing to give good things to those who ask Him. He feeds the birds, clothes the lilies, and watches over the sparrows. If we put His kingdom first in our lives, our needs will be guaranteed. We are to go through life without worry, knowing that this caring, watchful Father will see to it that we have all that we need. Scriptural evidence to the generosity of our Creator abounds. The most famous chapter in the Old Testament begins by asserting God's liberality. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I will not lack. David testifies that he will never lack life's necessities because of the one he has chosen as his shepherd. He does not say, I'm talented and therefore I'll never lack, or I'm ambitious and will never have to do without, or I'm smart and so I'll always have everything I need. No, David's confidence is in the Lord. He has a faithful shepherd who is not stingy, and David will not lack. There are 150 Psalms in the Bible, but none of the others has ever attained anything close to the popularity of Psalm 23. Why is this? Why is this particular psalm the one read at funerals, memorized in Sunday school classes, and well known to nearly every Christian of every nation? Why aren't we as familiar with the 88th Psalm, or the 54th Psalm, or the 122nd Psalm? Why the 23rd Psalm? The answer is that it is in the 23rd Psalm that we find one declaration after another about the generosity, the protection, and the kindness of the Lord. Certainly, we find these things in other places, but nowhere in the Old Testament is it said any better, and in such a concentrated form. This God who struck the firstborn of the Egyptians dead in a moment, who blazed with fire on the top of Mount Sinai, who dwells in unapproachable light, and whose voice caused such terror that the Israelites begged Moses to go and talk with him on their behalf, this same God is called My Shepherd by David. He leads His people to still waters and green pastures. He walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death, comforting and keeping us from harm. He causes goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our lives. Perhaps the most extravagant declaration of this psalm is found in verse 5, You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. I've always been fascinated by this statement. We often speak about God meeting our needs, but often in our minds this has to do with the required minimum. Enough food, enough money, enough clothes, and enough encouragement for us to get through another day, or another week, or month, or year. The term that describes this is getting by. And while getting by is a whole lot better than not getting by, it cannot compare with more than enough. When David says his cup runs over, he's saying that he's not just getting by. He has more than he needs. Normally, when we think about the contents of a glass, we think of it as either empty, partially full, or completely full. We rarely think about a glass that is more than full. Yet this is what David was describing. His glass was more than full. It was running over. This theme of abundance runs through the Scriptures. In Luke, Jesus tells us that as we give to God and others, it will be given to us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Here again, we see the term running over. This implies having more than we need, more than we planned on, more perhaps than we even wanted. In this case, Jesus compares the provision of the Father to a jar of grain that is pushed down and shaken so that every possible space is filled, and then the grain keeps on being poured until it runs over the sides of the jar onto the ground. That may sound a little wasteful, but one thing is for sure, whoever's doing the pouring is not stingy. In Malachi, God tells Israel to bring their tithes into the storehouse and prove Him, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Once again, we have the same concept, God giving his people more than they ask, expect, or need, so much that they have no room to store the abundant harvest he will provide. When Jesus was ministering in a remote area toward the end of the day, his disciples asked him to send the large crowds away so that they could get themselves something to eat in the nearby towns. Our Lord told them that they should provide the people with food. They were shocked and told him they had nothing more than 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Jesus told the disciples to organize the crowd into groups of 50. I kind of love it that Jesus likes order and organization. Then after blessing the food, he instructed them to distribute the loaves and fish. Miraculously, the fish and loaves never ran out. Now, I know we've all heard about this, but many don't consider there is something rather peculiar about this miracle. It might seem a little bit neater had Jesus multiplied the bread and fish to exactly fill the needs and bellies of the 5,000 men plus the women and children who were there. It would have been kind of cool had the final pieces of bread and fish filled the plate of the very last man served. But such was not the case. When the last man was served, they discovered that there was food left over. In fact, a lot of food left over. The Bible tells us that 12 baskets of leftover fragments were gathered up. What was going on here? Was Jesus unable to count the crowd and therefore he made more food than he needed? No, this wasn't a counting problem. Jesus, being one with his heavenly Father, was doing things as his Father does. He was giving the people that running over cup, the jar pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He was pouring out a blessing that the stomachs of the people did not have room enough to receive. Our God is a God of abundance. Giving his children just enough to get by is not his method of operation. But where some have missed it is in assuming that this abundance will always be manifested in dollars or Ferraris or mansions. As our head is anointed with oil, in other words, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we will at some point see the abundance of heaven. But we'll not all become millionaires. For sure, our financial needs will be met, but God does not call most of his children to possess great wealth. The Apostle Paul was rich in the power of the Holy Spirit, rich in spiritual children, rich in the spiritual gifts of healing, evangelism, and church building. But he was far from a rich man in terms of finances. He had seasons of scarcity and seasons of physical prosperity. And he wrote to the Philippians, "Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." To do ministry well requires resources. The spiritual resources are far and away the most important, but they're not the only resources we need. We also need emotional resources, skills, knowledge, often equipment, and usually money. And of course, we can always walk down the street and talk to people about Jesus, but if we go much further than that, we're going to need some things. I have a favorite verse that promises God's supply of all that we need for effective ministry. It's found in 2 Corinthians 9, where Paul declares, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." In prayer, I have reminded the Lord of this promise again and again. I love all the alls in this verse. God doesn't just make some grace abound toward us. He makes all grace. We don't just get some sufficiency for some things, but we're given all sufficiency in all things, and we will have an abundance for every good work. Here again is the promise of the running over cup. Jesus Christ is the channel through which the abundance of heaven flows into our lives. It is not just God supplying all our needs. It is God supplying all our needs by Christ Jesus. In Christ, we're forgiven. In him, we're justified and blameless in the sight of God. And in him, we have an abundance for every good work. And the scriptures tell us that in the ages to come, God will show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ and you think God is generous now, and he is, wait until you discover what he has for you in the ages to come. The Bible assures us, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him.